So we're going to continue on today with hallowing this name from the lesson, the way, the truth, and the life from the book, Living and Praying in Jesus' Name. You know, and I don't know if you guys have looked at the table of contents, but we're almost done. We are going to finish in 2017, okay? And I'm praying and asking God, what do we do next? Where do we go? We want the Holy Spirit just to lead us on what we should do next. But I hope that these lessons are really helping you to know Jesus better. I hope you know him better than when we started, because I know him better. I understand him better. You know, I couldn't possibly understand all there is to know, but I just have fallen in love with him all over again just by doing these lessons and these studies. So today we're going to be talking about hallowing this name, the way, the truth, and the life. Last week we talked about praying this name, and we talked about that praying this name. If you're going to be talking about praying his name as the way, the truth, and the life, you really have to talk about putting yourself on the altar and really dealing with your issues. You know, you've got to learn how to do it his way. You've got to learn how to live in his truth, and you've got to learn how to live his life. And folks, you know, what we're going to talk about today is that it does not come naturally. Sometimes we think just because we accepted Jesus Christ that it's just going to just happen. We're just going to all of a sudden. I know you get that feeling. You know, when we go down to the altar and we accept Jesus Christ, there's something. You can feel it lift off you. You can feel his presence come into you. But there's so much more, man. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning of this journey. You know, as you get into really start to get into the way, the truth, and the life, he changes you. So last week we talked about praying this name and allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work in you. Don't keep the Holy Spirit at arm's length. Let him come in and do the work that needs to be done in your life. You will be so much happier. Do not believe the lie. Do not believe the lies that the world tells about believers, that they're, oh, that's boring. No. I'm telling you, this is the life, folks. This is the life. So today we're going to talk about hallowing this name, or holding sacred this name, the way, the truth, and the life. And our key scripture on your handout is from Hebrews 3:1, and it's from the Amplified, and it says, "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, thoughtfully and attentively consider the apostle and high priest whom we confess as ours when we accepted him as Savior." And I want to say that again. We confessed him as ours when we accepted him as Savior. Namely, Jesus. He was faithful to him who appointed him apostle and high priest, as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. And I just want to hit on that first word is therefore, but this is Hebrews 3:1. So when we're talking about therefore, remember something came before the therefore. So you're going to have to read chapter 2, and chapter 2 is very powerful because chapter 2 talks about all the things that Christ had done, how everything was laid out for us in chapter 2. And then it goes into chapter 3 and says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, thoughtfully and attentively, that means on purpose, consider the apostle and the high priest whom we confess as ours, you know, when we accepted him as Savior, namely Jesus. So he's talking about how you need to make Jesus the way, the truth, and the life on purpose. This is not something that you're just going to gradually fade into. You've got to be deliberate about this, because as we have said over and over again, you've got to understand that you are surrounded by the hordes of hell who want you dead and in hell. You've got to understand that, folks. You've got to understand the deception that is all around you every single day. So you have to pay attention and live on purpose. Don't live all, you know, flighty and carefree. You got to really walk circumspectly, as the word says. I love that word. As I said, it means to look all around you, circumspect, from circumference and spectacle, meaning to look all around you and pay attention as you're living the way, the truth, and the life. So the first point on your handout says, as we strive to hallow and hold sacred Christ's name, the way, the truth, and the life, we must deliberately consider him. That is to think about, contemplate, reflect, believe. His way, truth, and life is so far from who we were when we lived without him that we must purposefully and even methodically consider him. Do you understand? You've got to pay attention. You know, that's why when the Army sends people over to different places, they train those men and women before they send them over there. They train them. They tell them, listen, you must always be paying attention. I remember I had a good friend of mine was in the Army years ago, and she said one thing that they taught her was that you never leave your weapon. You always have your weapon with you. You never leave your weapon. And she was telling this story about one day when they had gone on a 3-mile hike, you know, when they were in basic training. And she just leaned her rifle up against the tree so she could go get some more food. And when she came back, her rifle was gone. And she looked over at the picnic table and she could see the sergeants just sitting there looking at her and snickering. And she knew they had taken her weapon. And she had to go over there and ask those sergeants, may I have my weapon? And of course they made a big spectacle of her. They were just saying, I won't say her last name, I'll say Jones. she went over there and she said, please Sergeant, may I have my weapon? And she goes, I can't hear you. He said, please Sergeant, may I have my weapon? And he said, he stood up, and he says, in front of everybody, Jones wants to know, where's her weapon? I said, Jones wants to know, where's her weapon? And he just made the spectacle of her in front of everybody else. And of course, she was feeling like this big in it. But she said, after that day, I never, ever, ever forgot my weapon or left it sitting there. I was going to get something to eat. Because sometimes, folks, when things are good, and you just got that blessing, you know what I mean? And you can exhale for a minute. Sometimes you leave your weapon laying up against a tree. You're not praying. You're not reading your word because the blessing. I got the blessing. I'm over the hill now. Folks, do never, never stop praying. Never stop believing. Never stop it. Always be praying because the enemy, he's always roaming around. Until you leave this earth, he's going to be roaming around, seeking whom he may devour. So never, never, never leave your weapon. This must be deliberate. You must be contemplating on purpose. You must be reflecting on his word. You must be believing on him on purpose. His way, his truth, and his life is so far from where we were when we lived without him that we must purposefully and even methodically consider. It's like a civilian. That's why military people, you know, they have this attitude with civilians. You know, oh, he's just a civilian. You know, you hear them. They have this attitude. Why? Because civilians are untrained. Civilians don't understand the danger they're in half the time. They're just walking along. You know, they don't even know what it costs to keep them free. They don't even know. So they, civilians, untrained people. But you have not so learned Christ. He's telling you, be aware of what's going on. Be aware of how critical it is that you embrace the way, the truth, and the life. It will not come naturally to us. You must seek it out. Okay? You need to know that. Sometimes we get all arrogant because we were raised in the church and all of that, but you do not, you have never been this way before. Okay? You have got to come to him yourself and learn and grow. The next point on your lesson says, the scriptures teach us, set your mind and keep focus habitually on the things above, the heavenly things. Not on the things that are on the earth, which have only temporal value. For you died to this world. Do you hear that? For you died to this world. And your new or real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Oh boy, and we're going to get on that chapter on the Lord of glory, man. That is a really powerful training. But you got to understand right now, again, you have not been this way before. You died to this old way. So, you know, if I die to this old way, that's all I've known. I was raised here. I was born, as I said, I was born in Babylon. I was raised in Babylon. I was taught by Babylonians. So how in the world am I going to understand this new way? It's because you got to come to him and get it day by day so you can understand your new or your real life. It's hidden in Christ now. Things are different now for you. Things are different, and you've got to know this, you've got to know this, people of God, you've got to know this. You got a target on your back, okay? You got to know this. You got to stay hidden in Christ, because when you start doing it your way, guess what? You're stepping out. And the devil's like, oh, there she is. There she is. And don't think he's going to push your button, because he will push your button waiting for you to say, ouch, oh, there she is. That's what he does. He baits you. He baits you every day. Is it not true? He baits me. I know he baits me. He just messes with me. And I've had to learn that this is not just some frustration. This is not my coworker doing this. This is not my family member doing this. Satan's baiting to see, waiting for you to scream, ouch. Waiting for you to just open up your mouth and start spewing out whatever you're going to spew out. And then he says, I got you. You just stepped out of the way. You just stepped out of his truth into your own thing. You just stepped out of his life into your own life. So again, just keep in mind that, Lord, I need you every day. I need you every moment to help me. You know, and if you don't know what to say, just keep your mouth shut, folks. I'm telling you, that is a good, it has saved me so many times, Rita, just because I kept my mouth shut. I didn't know what to say, but I just kept my mouth shut, and it was all right. Jesus took care of it, okay? So we want to understand that we are in this new life. The next point on your handout says, this scripture does not mean that your head is in the clouds, or that you are so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Have you ever heard that term? You're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. That's not what we're talking about. It means that with every situation you encounter on earth, you consider your life in Christ as the guide to your responses. That you consider Christ before you respond. You know, in yourself and in your old way and in your flesh. You got to learn how to do this right. And if you don't know what to do, just keep your mouth shut and let the Lord just take care of it. And the Holy Spirit will take care of it. Remember, his way, his truth, and his life will not come naturally. Your old man, your old woman born in sin is within your body screaming for its own way. Its way to fight and to believe lies. Your mind sometimes wants to believe the lie because the lie can feel better for the moment. Can it? I mean, haven't you believed a lie because the lie felt better? The lie felt good, so I stayed with the lie because, you know, I could stay mad at somebody for another day and hold something over their head another day. So we want to believe the lie. You got to understand that old man wants to believe a lie over the truth. It also wants to it wants to cater to the old life. The old life, which caters to the body. And God knows there's a lot of stuff that makes this feel good, honey. To make the body feel good. There's a lot of stuff out there that'll make the body feel good. But we're in the life of Christ now. So I can't cater to this life anymore, the life of the flesh anymore. I cater to the life of Christ. You know, because the body can't have this, the life of the body can make you feel good for a moment. Oh, yeah, it'll feel good for a moment, but it's decay. It will destroy you. It will destroy you. Many, many, many have been destroyed because of it. They followed the body, the feel good, what felt good at the moment. And then tomorrow they died. Or then tomorrow's they died, or they face decay, loss in their life. If you have your Bible, just turn in your Bible. We're going to go to do a little Bible, direct Bible study here in Romans 7. And I'm going to read verses 18 through 20, and then 24 to 25. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And I just want to introduce this as the Apostle Paul's expose on the human condition, okay? This is his report on the human condition. As I was reading this, I said, you know, this is just sort of like a status report on humans. And he says, from verse 18, it says, and I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I do not want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. This is a status report on human beings. We want to do good, but we don't. And we want to do this, and we don't. And until we face the fact that it's not you, it's the sin in you that wants to do that. That old man wants to rise up. Your responses, you know? If any of you are hurting here, if I went and just hit somebody, what's your first response? It's like, oh. Because that's what we do. That's our first response in the body, in the flesh. It's there. You know, as long as we live in this package, I'm telling you, as long as you live in this package, you better stay on guard. Because this stuff will rise up before you even know it. I remember I was a good little Christian woman, mama. My kids were little. Good, nice, beautiful Christian mother, I thought. And somebody messed with my job. And honey, old Karen showed up, okay? Old Karen showed up because somebody messed with my child. And I mean, I went up this lady one side and down the other, and then Lord Jesus had to go apologize. It was my neighbor. I had to go apologize. Because Jesus said, I did not raise you like that. You know, you trying to show. So I had to go and apologize, folks. She would barely open the door. Like, what? What do you want? Because that old man wants to come out and he wants to do his thing. And then if we skip down to verse 24, it says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Remember we talked about death as opposed to life. Death decays, it tears down. Death is whatever is decaying. Who is going to deliver me from this life dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. My mind is really, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Do you understand? You're a slave. You know, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're a slave. I don't care what you say. You are a slave to sin. See, some people think there's this in-between ground between God's way and the devil's way. There isn't. Humanity is in a battle between good and evil. Do you understand? There is no two sides to this. We were born in sin. Nobody was born neutral. You were born in sin. And that's the way you are until you accept Jesus Christ and go to the other side with him. There's no middle ground here. And that's why you see folks that don't know Jesus, they're slaves to it. They can't help it. They're going to do exactly what this flesh and the enemy tells them to do. But Jesus saves us from Satan's power, and he gives us victory over our flesh. See, that's what he does. That's why we call it being saved. You were saved from those things. So we have to understand. So as you read this, this is such a beautiful, as I say, expose on the human condition and how we are. And then the answer, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord, that he is our answer. He is our deliverer. That takes us away from being a slave to sin. We don't have to do these things anymore. The next point on your lesson says, it says you live, but I want you to add, you learn to live and believe that the things that are valued in this world are secondary to the values of your real life in Christ. This is something you have to learn, okay? Because right now, you may value the things in this world more than you value your life in Christ. That's the way we come into the world. We just value the things of this world, what we can see, what we can feel. We value all that stuff over our real life in Christ. But as you grow in Christ, you learn to value the things of this world are secondary to the values of our real life in Christ. You hold sacred his way, truth, and life in this world. You live for the eternal and not the temporal. Because that's our issue. We live for the temporal. You know? I mean, it's really, I mean, when you really think about it, I mean, this is logic talking. This is not, if you don't even have to have a spiritual mind to see this. Anything man-made depreciates. Everything depreciates. So why are you caught up in a house and a car and all this stuff and a job? It all is going away. Everything goes away. So why in the world are you caught up in the temporal over the eternal? Because, and as the scripture's talking about, you have blinders on. The Lord of this world, it talks about, has blinders on the eyes of the people. And they don't see. Why are you? You know, you see, you know, I see like old people. I mean, I'm like, okay, you, how many more years you got left? And you still sinning. You still trying to get more money. For what? Not seeing the way. Not seeing the truth. Not seeing the life. And I think sometimes you get, you don't even know what else to do. What else can I do? This is what I've always done. I know it's going to leave it to my kids. I'm sorry. I know you plan to leave it to your children, and they'll do the same thing. They'll go down the same road that you have gone down. And that's what you got to think about. Think generationally. So we want to get to a place where we learn to live in the eternal and not the temporal. Let it go, folks. Let it go. See the eternal souls of people. And not your temporal stuff that fades away. Put people above things because they are eternal. They are eternal. Your children are eternal. Someone told me when my kids were born, they told me this is, someone walked up to me and said, I was holding my daughter, my firstborn, and she said, she is the only thing you can take to heaven with you. And you keep that in mind. All this stuff passes away. They're the only thing you can take to heaven with you are people in these eternal souls. So we want to learn to do it his way. That's why Jesus was so about people. Jesus was so about people because they are eternal. But this stuff, it will pass away. So we learn to teach, to do it his way. Christ teaches you how to see beyond this world into the eternal, to see souls instead of just people. See their soul. Don't just see the angry person. Don't just see the person with the attitude. See the soul that's in torment, that doesn't know any other way. That's what he calls his children to see, because you have the capability. You have the ability. You have the training. You are the military and they are the civilians. You can see it. So use your training to protect them and to draw them to a place of protection. The next point says, consider the things and the people that you value in this world. Then consider the value of Christ's way, truth, and life as you interact with them. Which do you hold more sacred during your interactions with them? Which do you hold more sacred during the hardships and the blessings of your life? What do you hold sacred? His way, his truth, his life? Or do you cast that out when trouble comes? Or you cast that out when you're hanging out with your friends and your buddies? Do you cast him aside for a moment? And it's easily done. I'm not coming down on anybody because I've done it. It's easily done. This is why you must live within Christ on purpose. On purpose. That means I got to pray on purpose. I got to pray. I got to make sure I'm okay before I walk out that door, because my natural inclination is to cater to my senses over my spirit. That is my natural inclination on what I see and what I feel and what I, you know, my emotions. That's my natural inclination as a person born in sin. But to cater to the spirit, okay, that takes some work. To reach down and says, okay, Jesus doesn't do it this way. He tells me to love my enemies. He tells me to do good to them that hurt me. He tells me to pray for them that despitefully use me. Oh man, I gotta really dig deep down for that one. because I can talk about them. And then he hits me, but did you pray for them? No, we just sat and we had a nice little conversation about them, that's all. And he's telling, but who's praying? Who's praying for them? Who's lifting them up? Who's praying for them? I told you a story about this young man that works at, that used to work, I don't see him, haven't seen him recently, at our Walmart. You know, that was gay. He was obviously gay. And I was like, oh, boy, I just, and the Holy Spirit said, who's praying for him? Oh, man, I felt such a conviction in my heart. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know who's praying for him, Lord. I'm just sitting here with my little Christian self. And he said, who's praying for him? You don't know. Maybe everybody in his life has rejected him. And you won't pray. And I made it my business. As long as he was at that Walmart, I made it my business to go through his line. I said, Lord Jesus, I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to go through his line every time and I'm going to talk to him. And I'm going to show him whatever love I can show him. Because that's the way we are, our natural, even in our Christendom, we can get all judgmental and we don't even pray for people, talking and talking and talking about them and don't even pray. What is that? That is not who we are. I understood why so many gay people resented us and talked. I said, because we don't pray. We don't pray for them. We talk about them. We hate them. We don't even pray. Pray. Lift them up. I got a list of people I'm praying for. I'm just lifting them, just praying for them. Lord, I pray for them. I lift them up to Jesus. Because only there are certain things only the Holy Spirit can do. There are certain things only, hey, listen to me. There are certain things only the Holy Spirit can do. Your best argument is not going to do it. You have got to bring the Holy Spirit into the fight and let the Holy Spirit do the work. And many times the Lord has just told me, love them. Just love them. Don't preach to them. Don't quote them any scriptures. Just love them. Feed them. Invite them over. There's a really good book. This lady was on Focus on the Family just a few weeks ago. And she lived as a lesbian for many years as a professor. And she was won to Jesus Christ by this pastor in Syracuse, New York. And her book is called The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert. And, you know, I got this because I'm just interested in, and boy, just some of her thoughts that were going on while this man was winning her to Jesus Christ. Today she is a believer, she's married, she's got children, you know, because somebody took the time, you know, this pastor and his wife just invited her over, went and had barbecues, you know, I mean, go be led of the Lord, be led of the Lord. And I don't even know why I'm hitting on this issue. But I'm just hitting, I'm talking about his way. His way is a way of love. You know, love people. You know, we don't sit there, you know, even when all that hate is coming towards you. Someone told me you throw love at hate. You throw love at hate. You don't throw hate back at hate. You throw love at hate. You want to win this world? Love them. What the old hymn says, they will know that we are Christians by our love. That's how they're going to know. They're not going to know by your big King James in your hand. They're not going to know that way. They're going to know you are Christians by your love. And that is his way. That is the heart of his way, is loving people. So we have got to learn. We've got to, folks, if we're going to win this world, I'm telling you, we've got to understand his way. You know, we don't know it. We think we know it, but we don't know it. We've got to learn his way. So So you got to understand, what do you hold? Your natural inclination is to cater to your senses over your spirit. But when Christ comes into your spirit, you must learn how to cater to your spirit over your senses and your body. And this is why we go on fast. This is why you fast. You know, this is why you fast. You know, when you just want to go on a fast. It's because when you fast, your body gets quiet because it gets weak. It's weak. And it can't act up. When the body's weak, it can't act up like it usually does. It's not all responsive. The responses of the body become very dull when you fast. And then you can hear the still small voice of your spirit better. You can. You can hear the still small voice when you're fasting because your body is quiet. And then you can hear the Lord speaking to you. And you know, it would do you good to fast and get in tune with that voice. Because once you start to hear that voice, you know it. You know when God is talking. You know, if you have ever been on a fast, you're sensitive. You're not as responsive to what's going on around you. You know, you're not as agitated because your body is weak. But when you hear that still small voice, that's what you do. You're more obedient to him. The scripture says, therefore, the Lord waits expectantly and longs to be gracious to you. And therefore, he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed, happy, fortunate are those who long for him, since he will never fail them. Isaiah 30:18, that's amplified. His way will bless your life every time. You think it won't. The liar is in your ear telling you, no, you can't. You can't. Don't pray for people when they treat you bad. That's the liar in your ear. Hurt them back. You have, especially if you got the power to. If you're a leader, if you're a supervisor, if you're a director, something, you got the power to hurt people. Don't do it like the world does. Love people. You're an agent of Jesus Christ, and that means I got to do it his way. You know, when you hire an agent to do something, an agent to do your taxes, they got to do it the way you need it done. And that's what Jesus tells us. You're an agent of Jesus Christ. Do you understand? You can't just be doing it your way. You got to do it his way. I gave you all this extra handout, Psalm 42. I tried to just get one or two scriptures, but I'm telling you, the whole song was so beautiful. I just had to get the whole thing. And I just want to read it. And this talks about the longing. The longing. Just understanding the longing that comes with Christ. And it says, as a deer pants longingly for the water brook, so my soul longingly pants longingly for you, O God. My soul, my life, my inner self thirsts for God, for the living God. When will I come and see the face of God? My tears have been my flood day and night. And I want you to hear the agony in which David is in. But he's still longing for the Lord. And that's what we're talking about. When times are hard, are you still longing for God? Or are you turning your back to him? Because sometimes that's the natural inclination, is when you are going through a hard time, you turn your back on God. Because why did you let this happen to me? Is what's going on in your carnal mind. Instead of what we hear for David. I mean, in this psalm, I see the struggle. He's asking God questions, but he's still coming to God. He says, my tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Where's this God you're talking about? You're supposed to be a Christian, but look at all the stuff that's happening to you. How I used to go along before the great crowd of people and lead them in procession to the house of God, like a choir master before his singers, timing the steps to the music and chanting the song with a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a great crowd keeping festival. As he said, I used to be the praise leader. I used to lead people in praise. Now look at me. He's reflecting back, and then he says, now look at me now. And then he talks to himself. I love this part. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become restless and disturbed within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. See, you've got to talk to yourself sometimes. If there's nobody else around to encourage you and you feel like even God's not, you encourage yourself because you always have his word. And his word is truth, man. His word, he's not going back on his word. So David encouraged himself. He's talking to himself. Why are you in despair? You hope in God and you wait expectantly for him. For I shall again praise him for the presence of, for the help of his presence. Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. The burden more than I can bear. Therefore, I will fervently remember you from the land of Jordan and the peaks of Mount Hermon and the Mount of Mizar. And then I love this part. Deep calls to deep at the thundering sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. See, there's a point. You know, you don't get deep with God. I'm telling you. We don't get deep with God until stuff is going on in our life. And that's when you're getting on your face. That's when you're getting on your prayer closet. That's what's going on here. See, David got some troubles going on. So the deep parts of David was calling to the deep parts of God. Deep calls unto deep at the thundering sound of your waterfall. So make the best. You know, the beautiful thing about going through trial and when you know Christ is that, first of all, it's going to work together for your good. Secondly, it's an opportunity for the deep parts of you to call to the deep parts of him. You know, to pray through and to pray hard. And to get into your prayer closet, get into your war room as it was, and pray through. And boy, I'm telling you, when you come through that thing, you're so much better. Take advantage. If you're going through some stuff right now, I dare you to let the deep parts of you call to the deep parts of God. His tears. I know you're crying. I know you're crying. I know you're groaning. Sometimes you don't even have any words. You just groan. That's okay. God hears the prayer of your heart. Even if you cannot speak words, God hears the groanings of your heart. The deep parts of you call to the deep parts of God. And he says, all your breakers and your waves, God waves rolls over you. He's just, it just rolls. David is having an experience with God. His waves roll over him. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. Yes, it's nighttime right now. But yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night, his song will be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Remember, we're talking about the way and the truth and the life. This is the God of my life I'm talking to. You need to talk to the God of your life. You're in him now. You've accepted him now. So now he is the God of your life. Do you understand? You need to call out to the God of your life. And not to your BFF or whoever else you want to call. You call on the God of your life. That's what you need at this time. I will say to my God, my rock. Remember that lesson, the rock. Why have you forgotten me? Be real with them. Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And it feels like that sometimes. And you can talk to God. I love David because he was so real with God. You can be real. You don't have to be all phony with God. I'm real with him. Like, Lord, I'm telling you. You know, I was telling him, I was just finding about how we got this financing for our new building project. And I'm telling you, I did not have a plan B. I said, and I told Jesus, I said, Jesus, I do not have a plan B. I said, I do not have a contingency plan. So if you don't bring us through, I'm going to stand right here and crash and burn. I'm just going to let you know right now. I'm going to crash and burn. I'm just going to let you know. And of course he came through because he's such a good, good father. Yes. But I was real with them because I didn't. I said, Lord, I've laid it out here for you. I've laid it out. And if I crash and burn, I crash and burn. You know. So he goes on to say, why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a crushing of my bones with a sword, my adversaries taunt me while they say continuously to me, where is your God? I'm being taunted. It's bad enough things are going bad, but now I've got people taunting me, asking me, where is your God? I thought you were a Christian, blah, 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 blah. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become restless and disquieted within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him. For I shall praise him, the help of my countenance, and my God. My God. I love this song. And I wrote it out. This is, you know, this is a post for the war room, guys. This is a post for your war room, wherever it is. Post this in your war room so that you can get there. When you're crying and the tears are coming down, you get in there. And you pray this prayer. This is a prayer. This is a prayer. You pray this prayer before God. He will hear you, and he will answer you, and he will show you great and mighty things. So holding his way sacred, the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, I'm back on your notes here, brings with it the promise of Christ's grace or his unmerited, unearned favor upon your life. As long as you long for him, he comes near and infiltrates every area of your life, and there is peace, and there is joy, and there is love, and there is no failure in him. I'm telling you, there's no failure in him. You can trust him. You can trust him. And let me tell you a secret, that the thing does not have to be resolved for you to have the peace, the joy, and the love. Okay, you can have that while you're in the, while the stuff is still going on. You can be in the middle of a mess and you can still have peace, love, and joy in the middle of it. You don't have to. Don't let Satan steal another day from you, because he steals days. He'll steal, if he can steal an hour from you, a minute, he'll steal it, making you worry and stress and fret when Jesus has it already. Walk in his peace and his love and his joy. That is his life. And again, our scripture, deep calls to deep at the thundering sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers, your waves have rolled over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. His song will be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Hallelujah. This holding sacred of his way, truth, and life does not come by doing good deeds thought up in our mind. Let's hit on this one. Because sometimes we think that his way is about good deeds. And it does come, but the good deed has got to be born out of his life, out of his way, out of his truth, and out of his life. It's not just, oh, that's a good idea. Because so many people have gotten in trouble because of a good idea. Remember, we're talking about his way. That's what this whole lesson is about. It's his way. Because sometimes we think it's his way because it's a good deed. But it's not necessarily something he told you to do. That's why, again, you got to be in touch so you know what his way is. Years ago, I heard the sermon that was entitled, "You Got to Know a Good Idea from a God Idea." You know, you got to know the difference. Some things that are good ideas are not necessarily what God is telling you to do. So again, we want to be able to hear what he is saying. Good deeds will come, but they must be born out of his spirit and not out of your flesh. You got to understand that. There are times when God has told me, don't do it. I see a need right in front of my face and I'm headed for it. Don't do it. I'm working on them and you're going to get in the way. I do not rescue them. And sometimes God will tell, but do not rescue them. I'm working and you're going to get in the way if you rescue them. And we'll be right back here next year doing the same thing because you want to rescue. Hear God. Pray for people. You know, sometimes people lighten prayer. They think prayer is just kind of, oh, well, thank you. Thank you for your nice little prayer. Prayer is critical. If you're going to really help somebody, prayer is critical. So you know what to do and know what not to do. Pray for people. God will show you what to do. There is a deeper requirement to hear his word, meditate on his word, and pray until the Holy Spirit, the truth, comes to life in your spirit. And you'll know it. You'll know it when you've been enlightened, when the Lord has done a work in your mind. So many times he has turned me around. I was going in this direction, thought I was right, thought I had the right and was right. And he would turn me right around. And I'm doing just the exact opposite. Then this, when his waves roll over you, as the psalmist described in Psalm 42, his purpose is birthed in you through this deliberate seeking. If you are to ever know the meaning of life, the meaning of your life, this deliberate and deeper seeking is required. Do you hear that? We always ask, what's the meaning of my life? Why am I here? This deliberate seeking is required if you want to know the meaning of your life, why you are here. If you're not willing to do that, okay, keep wandering the earth. Keep wandering the earth, taking up resources, doing whatever. Remember, this whole lesson is about purpose. No purpose, no eternal purpose. But we want eternal purpose. We want to do it his way. And I tell you, it changed your life. It changed your attitude. And I mean, you'll feel like getting up in the morning. You'll want to get up in the morning. I mean, God will be setting up challenges for you. I mean, sometimes, I'm like, okay, God, I got to get up. I got to face this meeting today. Jesus, help me. He's like, get up. We're going. And he's always there. He meets me. He meets me. Sometimes he takes care of it before I even get there. I just got to come in and just, I'm like, okay, you know. Jesus said, as he taught in John 6, he said, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. You have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Therefore, okay, so Jesus is saying this, all this stuff, and of course, this is their response. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And then we skip down to verse 66, and it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are Christ, the Son of God, of the living God. And this is from John 6, verses 53 through 54, 60, and verses 66 through 69. So this is a powerful thing going on here, because Christ is saying something to them that is difficult, you know, or they're not understanding what he's saying. Have you ever been there? God's telling you to do something, and you're like, okay, why? You know, your mind's like, why? Why is this happening? Why would he want, you know? And you wonder. And this is the situation that's going on. He's teaching something that they're not understanding. Sometimes Christ, in his willingness to help you grow up, will say difficult things to you or allow difficult things to happen to you. These things that you do not understand at the time, he challenges you to eat his flesh and drink his blood. It's the same thing. He's challenging you to trust him. As he's saying to these people, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and they're like, what? Oh, no, see, we're going to find somebody else. We're going to find us another savior, because this one is off. He off, you know. And that's the way we are. Oh, no. You know, and that's what happened. They left. They said, okay, we're not even following you anymore. You know. But he was trying to get them to experience him in a new way. Jesus is trying to get you to experience him in a new way. Okay, you need to graduate from kindergarten. You need to go into first grade. So he's trying to get you to experience him in a new way. So he's saying something to you that's difficult and you're not really understanding, and you know, and he's going to confirm it, you know. And you have a choice at that point. You can be like these folks right here. Oh, this is too hard for me. I've heard people say that. No, that is too hard for me. Peace out. I'm going to go do something else. Or you can be like Peter. I love Peter. I love Simon Peter, boy. I'm telling you, he was so sanguine. I mean, he would just get out there and just do it, man. And he would, but he spoke up. He was always the one speaking up. And he said, Lord, where shall we go? I'm sold out to you. Where am I going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And even though I don't understand what you mean right now, I don't understand why you brought me all the way over here and I'm suffering. I do not know why you told me to move to Colorado and I'm going through all this stuff. I had this back in here. I had this back in New York. I had that back in New York. And here I am out here in these mountains. And all this stuff is going on. I'm telling you, this is serious. Because I'm telling you, we all come to that place where he's asking you to go to a new experience with him. And you've got to decide whether you're going to do it or not. Because some Christians, I don't mind being a Christian, just don't make me one of them fanatical Christians, okay? Don't make me... You know, I want to be them fanatics that people talk about. You know. So I'm going to go to church and, you know, do all that. But don't ask me to, you know, do that other stuff that you Christians get into, you know. But do you really trust him with your life? Do you trust him to take you further? It's like your life. You know, we talk about the river. Our life is like a river. It's running. It's moving constantly. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be constantly moving and changing. Christ, you know, he's a river. He's a river. He's moving. And when you get to this crossroads sometimes, and he's asking you to keep going, and you look down the road and you see that cliff, oh no, that's a waterfall. And we build ourselves a little dam. We go, no, let's stop the river right here. That's what we do. We become stagnant. See, there's a choice. Either you're going to go further with Christ and trust him over that cliff, or you're going to build yourself a little dam and stop the river, right? Stop the flow of your life right there. I'm staying right here. And that's where you will be, because nothing more, Christ can't do anything with you. He's not going to force you. Notice he did not go after those people that left. He did not go after them. He said, he just turned to the disciples, the 12 he had left, and said, are you going to go too? And so he's asking you, are you going to go too? And you got to answer that question. I can't answer that for you. Because sometimes you want to build that dam and your life is pulled up. It's become stagnant. And you wonder why. Your life is stagnant. Your gifts are stagnant. They're not moving. All your gifts, nothing's happening. And you got to ask, did you build a dam and told God, I'm not going any further because I see the cliff and I do not want to be a waterfall. I don't want to be that. So we're at a point where we have to make that decision. There's an excellent book. I know I've featured this book before, Hinds Feet on High Places. Some of you may have read it. Hannah Herner, boy, this is just a keeper. In fact, I got this in my library. But this is an amazing book, and it talks about this character, Much Afraid. That was her name, was Much Afraid. And she had a cousin by the name of Craven Fear. You know, and Craven Fear, her cousin, used to torment her all the time. You know, because she was afraid. And everything, every time she tried to do something, he was right there trying to keep her. You know, but she had a friend. She was friends with the shepherd. which was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, and the shepherd would tell, the shepherd would try to teach Much Afraid. And the shepherd told Much Afraid that one day, Much Afraid, I'm going to sing a song. And when you hear me sing my song, I want you to come on out and meet me. And we're going to go to the high places. We're going to go up in the mountains and stuff. And he said, and think about, you know, I saw when he said that, it was that he did not come in the house to get her. He said, I'm just going to sing the song when I pass by, and I want you to come out to meet me, and we're going to go to the high places. Folks, I'm telling you, sometimes God is calling you to those high places. And he's singing his song. You hear it. You know it. As sure as you're sitting there, you know he has told you to do stuff. He has confirmed it and confirmed it and confirmed it. And he sing. That's him singing his song. Singing the song. Come on out, Much Afraid. I know you're afraid. I know that's who you are. But he is ready to change her name if she would just go with him to the high places. I won't spoil the ending for you if you want to read. High and Speed on High Places. It's this amazing, beautiful allegory on the Christian life, you know. So Christ is calling you to those high places. And I am going to stop right there because I knew we weren't going to finish today. So I'm going to stop right there. Any comments? Hannah Hernard, I will pass it around. And I want you to know I bought this book off Amazon, okay? So it's a used book. So I did not steal this book from Aunt Colleen, okay? There's an inscription in here to Aunt Colleen. I did not take this from Aunt Colleen. I got it from Amazon. It's a used book, okay? But I thought the inscription was really cool. So just so you know.
I got this from my
lovely friend. Yeah. You what now?
I got that from my friend.
Yeah. did you use that?
Did you see me when I
posted my business? Oh, did I? Did I? Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. Any comments? Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I know when you were saying that when God moved you to Colorado, it was the same thing as because we had friends and we have a beautiful church and we have a beautiful home and God just stopped everything. It's like, what? You know, and you just say, my God, you know, we moved to Colorado, we didn't have a job, you know, we didn't have anything,
wow.
And God just provided us everything, you know,
wow.
And found this church, and now we're in the ministry, and it's just, that's what we need to be obedient to the Lord,
yes.
Hear his voice and stuff, you know, when you don't, you know, you will know it,
yes.
But he's been so awesome in our lives right
yeah.
now, and just being obedient to him every day,
uh-huh.
And, you know, to thank him for
yeah.
everything. You know, from, you know, sometimes you always do the test trials in your life, but you know what? It's only temporary.
Mm-hmm.
And you always come through all the time.
All the time.
All the time. All the time.
Yes.
And right now, as I said, he blessed us with a beautiful home, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, so.
Yes.
You know.
Amen. Yeah, that's right. That's a testimony. Lord just blessed him with a beautiful home.
Yeah.
Praise God. Anybody, Afrida?
I've mentioned this before, but it's worth mentioning again. I love this psalm. At the first scripture, it says, the first verse rather, as the deer pants for the water brooks,
mm-hmm.
it starts with the water brooks, but at verse 7, the deeper we go into God,
oh.
then it deep calls into deep. After the water brooks comes the waterfalls and the breakers roll
wow,
over us.
I never saw that.
The
yeah.
deeper we go in God, we have that God encounter
Amen.
With
yes.
him, and that's where our life
Amen.
Changes.
Amen.
I also see, I think, twice in here where it says, where is your God? People look at us when
mm-hmm.
we're in trial and
yes,
see. So,
yes.
But God brings us through for His
Amen.
His glory. Oh,
Amen. I never saw that. She was
yeah.
talking about the first verse that talks about the water brook, and by the time we get to verse 7, he's talking about the breakers and the water just rushing over us. You know. So, Amen. That's a deep. We get to get. That's the same one. Amplified. Did you get? There's a handout.
Yeah.
There's,
Yeah, my experience came in 1982 with the Georgia Tech out of Pueblo, coming to Denver. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to go to Denver. No way. I was a little town girl. I didn't want to go to that.
You didn't want to go to Denver.
And I kept saying, God, what are you doing this? What are you doing? I'm taking me from my family, my home, and sending me up here? But that was the best thing he ever did for me.
Wow.
Because we're there for a month. I had to depend on him. I would say, my map, I'm here. I need to go here. How do I get there? And he did. And he gave me the heart, my desires of my heart in Denver.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
I mean, every time I get to think about it, I say, what would happen if I had disobeyed? Mm-hmm. What would if I would? I would have something.
Amen. Yeah.
He is faithful.
That promise.
He knows what he wants for you. We just have to let him have it.
Yes.
And our flesh says, no, I don't want to. I'm scared.
I don't know anybody up here.
From going from Pueblo to Denver. it was like going from here to San Francisco.
Yeah.
But I mean, like I said, I look back at if I hadn't put what up last couple
months. Amen.
Because he became my God and my Savior.
Amen. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, he is faithful. Anybody else before we pray? Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this word, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your people, Lord God. I thank you that you made us children of the living God. Oh, Lord, even your children, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that we would rise up and be the people of God, that we would rise up in your authority, Lord God, that we would rise up in your will and in your way, Lord God, that we would cast off fear, Lord God. Lord God, because you love us and you will take care of us, Lord God. I pray that we would be obedient, Lord God. Even if it takes us a while, Lord, I pray that we would be obedient to what you are saying for us to do in these days, Lord God. I pray that we would be people of love. Oh God, that we would know how to throw love back at hate, Lord God. That we would not get into hatred ourselves, Lord God. We know we cannot defend you in hatred, Lord. We can only defend and live for our God in your love, because that is your way. Oh, Lord, that we can only defend you in your truth, and we can only defend you in walking in your life, Lord God. So, Lord, I pray for everyone in this room, Lord God. Every single person, Lord, I pray for them. I lift them up. Oh, Lord, that they would rise up, that their river would not be dammed up, Lord God. But their river would continue flowing, that they would not rest here, they would not stop here, but they would continue moving, that they would see what you're speaking into their life, the great purpose that you have for them, and that they would walk in it. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen.